Welcome to Next Steps, a podcast from Black Hawk Church. We believe that following Jesus is a lifelong journey. So no matter where you're at, there's always a next step to take. Each week on this podcast, we'll create space for real conversations about the questions we wrestle with, the challenges we face, and the hope we find in Jesus. Our goal isn't to have it all perfectly figured out, but to walk faithfully towards Jesus together. We're so glad you're joining us. Let's dive in. Well, hi, everyone. Thanks for joining today's conversation. I'm your host, Christian Eggers, and this week we are continuing our new series on the podcast, Can I Ask That? On Sundays, we're jumping into some of the big questions that many people may have about faith. And then on the podcast each week, we are diving deeper, responding to some different questions that we just don't have the time to get into on Sunday mornings. And so for today's conversation, I am joined by my friend, Pastor of Spiritual Formation, Tiffany Malloy, and we are going to be asking the question, how do we follow God really? So thanks for joining us, Tiff.
Oh, I'm so excited.
You ready to jump in?
I totally am.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I love talking about this, but it's such a big topic. So I feel like let's start with this. What does it even mean to follow God? What are we talking about when we're trying to have this conversation of what is following God?
Yeah. That's a great question. I think for this particular conversation, I would say it's about what does it look like to get to know God, to walk with God through all of the seasons of life, through times when things are feeling fantastic, through times when things are feeling hard, over the course of a lifetime. We have the opportunity to get to know this God of the universe who invites us to know him and to be with him and learn what it looks like to live in his kingdom and not our own kingdom. And so I think in particular, especially like what does it look like to follow Jesus over time? That's what I'm particularly interested in. Maybe I would say even the scope of our conversation is not so much of like people who are just now being introduced to who Jesus is or just at the beginning stages. I mean, that's so fun. Mm-hmm. But I really would love just to talk about what it looks like over a lifetime after you've been following Jesus for a while.
Yeah, that's really good. I feel like when you first start following Jesus, it's kind of obvious your first next steps in some ways. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm reading my Bible for the first time.
I'm getting to know who God is.
Yes, I'm praying for the first time. I'm joining a community group, like all of those things. Yes. But as you follow Jesus for longer and longer, those things, they can start to feel stale or like they're not working anymore. Or you start to ask the question, am I still growing from this? Is still still the right thing? And that can be really confusing and honestly like unsettling.
Yeah, that's right. And I really think about our life with God truly as a relationship. And there are some characteristics of other relationships in our lives that we can learn from, right? So if maybe you're dating somebody or, you know, even newly married, there's this like honeymoon phase where you're like, oh my gosh, I just love this. I'm learning so much about the person. They're like fantastic. I'm so in love. And that's a really important part of a relationship, right? Because it's like really bonding our hearts to the other person. Well, that's not where it ends, right? So if you've been in any kind of relationship, even this can happen with friendships, you know, you begin to realize, oh, maybe this is starting to get a little boring or it's not so exciting or, man, they're saying things or doing things that kind of rub me the wrong way. And so I think for all of us, we have to learn how to be in healthy relationships with people. And there are some things that can translate to our relationship with God. It's not totally different. And so what does that look like?
Okay, that's so good. Okay, so how about, why don't we dive into this? So I think some of the things that we think about when we think about how we're growing in our relationship with Jesus, we think about kind of like, I think about them as like checkbox items. Like, okay, you're supposed to read your Bible and go to church and be in a community group and serve. So why do we need to do those things? Do we need to do those things?
Yeah.
Is this what's up with this? Yeah, what's up with this checklist?
Good. That's good. I think that all of those things can be really valuable to our life with God. And I think But do we have to, you know, or do, there's that question, do I have to do all these things? Do I have to go to church? Do I have to read my Bible? I think I would ask some questions to people who are asking that question. I've asked that question. Do I really, there's been seasons where I'm like, do I really need to go to church? Because I'm not really sure this is like doing much for me. And so those are, I mean, those are very normal question, things like that. I think there's normally like a question behind a question when somebody asks like, do I really have to X, Y, or Z? And so I love to get the story behind it. Like, why don't you, like, do you want to read your Bible? If not, why don't you want to? Is it like kind of hard for you to read? Is it confusing?
Or is there something that's like unsettling that you've uncovered
makes
in your
you
Bible
uncomfortable?
Or something like that?
Yeah. And so that's a really good thing to know about yourself. That's a great place to start. Same with church. Like, why don't you want to be a part of a church? Do you, have you had a bad church experience, or has somebody hurt you? Do you think it's a waste of time? Do you just feel really busy and you don't want to prioritize that? Like, how I would answer each of those, that question depends on kind of where people are at. But I think overall, the big thing I would say is like, God loves you. He cares about you. You don't have to do anything to like earn God's love, right? Like your salvation isn't dependent on a list of do's and don'ts. The life with God can, it's so easy for me even to look at it as like, here's like a list of things that I do to maintain this relationship with God. But sometimes, you know, if I brought that kind of mindset to my friendships with, you know, some of my friends.
Well, I'm getting coffee for you today. Yeah, totally. I'm getting coffee with you because that's what we do.
So I have to help you with this thing in your life that you need help with. Like, that would really suck the life out of a friendship. And I don't really think that that's super healthy. And so, but there is parts of our seasons of friendships even that feel more like that. So, but it's just not how God works. He just loves us. He cares about that. Cares about us. He's not like, you have to do all these things. But I think there's like an opportunity in each of these things. And reading our Bible, going to church, being in community, serve. There's real like get-tos in each of these. Like, right in the Bible, like we read the Bible, we get to know who God is. You know, we being a part of the church body, we're reminded that like it's not all about us, and there's like we get to be in community, we get to be encouraged, we get to be challenged, we get friendship when life's hard, like just people who are on our side, you know, serving, there's opportunity to be a part of God's mission. So sometimes it's like we need that reminder of like, okay, why am I doing these things? What's the real purpose behind it? I don't want to do it just because I feel like I ought to do it. But that's a real, we go through seasons of that. So if you're experiencing that, it's super normal.
Yeah. I feel like we should almost like warn people, like expect that like sometimes these things aren't going to resonate, or they're going to feel a little bit uncomfortable, or you're going to get tired of doing them. And like, that doesn't have to mean that like there's something wrong in your relationship with God.
That is probably kind of
very
normal.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just feel like, I don't want people to freak out about that. But I love that you kind of encourage this curiosity about when you're feeling those frustrations or exhaustion, maybe, or whatever the case may be, just to be curious about that.
Yeah, ask yourself why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or even like get with a friend or a pastor or somebody and just have that conversation of like, here's what I'm feeling, and someone who can help you dig into the
why.
And
don't be afraid to say that out loud. Like, I think sometimes we're nervous to like articulate those feelings because we think that they're wrong or they're bad or they say something about us. But I would say, find a friend that you trust. And those are really important conversations that we can articulate with others.
That's great. Okay. So, I mean, this question's kind of related. I feel like I know where you might go with it based on your answer, but is it ever okay to take a break from these things, from reading your Bible or church or small group or serving? Can we just take a season to step back if that's what we think we need?
Totally. Or? Again, I would be curious. So maybe that's like, this is what I do. I ask questions. Like, what are the whys, right? Like, is it a busy season of life? Are you really pouring your life into other things at that moment that are kind of more of a priority? Are you working through some tough things? Are you in a tough season of faith where you're really wrestling with God? And I think the why is really important. maybe I would share a story. So I would say maybe like 10, 15 years ago, I went through a really difficult time in my faith journey. I know some people I've told this story in the podcast before. I had finished seminary. So I knew the answers of like, what happens when God doesn't show up in the way that you want or that you think what is when God doesn't intervene in something that was really difficult for somebody. And I just remember hitting a really hard spot. And I kind of describe it as like standing between me and God is this like huge, it felt like a huge mountain of boulders. Like I could not move a single one of them. I can't climb up. I can't go underneath it. I can't go to the side of it. It's just like there was this barrier in between me and God. And I didn't know what to do. And it was quite scary. And so for me, it really, I just got in this time of like really, talking to people, sharing about my experience, trying to figure out what do I do. And I really had to make some big adjustments in my life for a time. And one of those adjustments, which I'm not sure if I should say because I'm a pastor here, but I stepped away from scripture for a time. For me, for that reason, the reason I stayed in community, I stayed in church, I stayed connected. I think that's so important. For me, I had some teachers in my life that had taught the Bible in a way that wasn't healthy. And I don't think it was true to kind of what God intended. And when I came to the scriptures and I read it, I could just hear their voice. I couldn't hear God's voice. I could just hear like this kind of distorted teaching of the scripture. And so I did kind of step away for a while, but again, stayed in community, kept reading Christian books. I just needed a minute to forget kind of some of these loud voices of teachers who were damaging. But then pretty soon, as soon as I felt like I could, I just jumped into the Gospels and I just stayed there for like a year. I didn't read outside of the Gospels. I just needed to know, to remember who is Jesus, what was he like, what is he about, this is who I'm following, and just gave me a space of healing. So again, I don't recommend stop reading the Bible, but I'm just saying that there's times when you can do some different things. It was during that time, kind of when I started going back into scripture, there's a practice called Lectio Divina that I had never known before, but it's a different way of engaging with scripture that really spoke to my heart. And it kind of bypassed my brain and just went to my heart. And God used that to really form me and grow me because I needed to step away from kind of the approaching scripture only with my brain. And it opened up my heart to God in some new ways. So there's so many practices. One thing I would say is if you're wanting to take a break from some things, try some new things in your life with God, I'd recommend a book called Spiritual Disciplines Handbook by Adelaide Albert Calhoun. It's literally what it sounds like, a handbook of different ways of praying, different ways of engaging in scripture, different spiritual practices, solitude, silence, maybe some things that you haven't really heard of before, but all of them deeply biblical and have been practiced over time by different people in church history as a way of staying connected with God and maybe in ways that bypass some of the typical ways that you've done it before, to kind of open your heart and see scriptures and see God in a new way. So,
yeah, I love that way of thinking about it, of like, is there a different way I could engage in this thing? Because I would say it's still true. Like we need community.
Yeah, we need the
Bible. Yeah. We need to have different ways to connect with God individually and communally. Yeah. And so I would say it's probably pretty rare that the answer is just walk away from that
totally.
Thing.
Mm-hmm. Cause if you think, even when I stopped personally reading, like being in, having a quiet time, quote unquote, for those people who have been in church for a while, I was still engaged in scripture, just it's in a sideways way. I was still, it was still inside my heart. I was still praying it. I was still going, being a part of a church community that was teaching it. I was reading Christian books that would like include it, but I just needed a different way for a moment. Does that make sense?
Totally.
And then you come back to it. There's just different seasons. And so it's staying connected, but yeah, finding new ways that kind of scratches the itch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm in seminary now.
Yeah.
And so reading the Bible a lot all the time. Yeah. And so I'm finding that for my own like walk with Jesus in some way, like I'm having to engage with scripture in different ways because as soon as I open my Bible, my brain is in study mode.
It becomes a textbook.
Totally.
And I think that's probably from my experience. I was right after seminary and the Bible had become a textbook. And
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I notice new and different things in the Bible, which is awesome and beautiful. And so there's aspects of it that are really great. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning and I'm being formed in the study that I'm doing. But I am like having to listen to other people read scripture more because it just like engages my mind and my body in a different way to listen or to choose really short. Like I'm not reading a whole like story at a time. Yeah. I'm like, what does it look like to just focus on these couple of verses or to focus on this psalm and like reduce the need to like analyze. And I'm sure that won't always be what I need, but like in this season, I'm like, okay, how can I engage with this thing that matters, but do it differently?
Yeah. That reminds me of when you talk about different seasons, I think about there's a season I went through where it was a time of really great, it was a time of grief and lament. And I, this is going to sound funny, but I had a really hard time listening to Christian radio, like Christian worship songs, even on Sunday mornings in the service. Like I was in a church that was a lot of like very happy clappy songs. And which in different seasons I want, and it's so encouraging to me and it's exactly what I need. But in this season, it wasn't matching kind of where I was at with God. And so I was talking to a spiritual director about this. So a spiritual director is just somebody who is trained in listening and is praying along with you as you're kind of talking about your relationship with God. And they kind of point out some things for you to try or just ask questions, help you to be curious, help you to just sit as a spiritual friendship to sit and hear God with you. And she said, it's okay to turn off the Christian radio. And I was like, but I mean, I just feel like, isn't that like an encouraging thing that I should be listening to you? And she's like, I hear a lot of shoulds there. Like, I wonder if, like, what if you just like turned it off and were silent? Or what if you, there are some different kind of types of music that you can more lament, maybe go to the Psalms and, you know, there's some, it's just, she gave me different ideas and thinking about, yeah, it's going a different way.
Yeah.
It's not everything for every season.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like, it sounds to me like there's this reminder for us that like God loves you where you're at.
Yeah.
So like you don't have to do all the shoulds or.
Yeah.
I feel like also if we're approaching trying to get to know God, trying to be with Him from a space of like guilt, like I don't know, that just is not a good way to build a relationship with someone. And so, yeah, I think that's really good. Okay, so what about if. I can imagine someone who's maybe has been like walking with God for a while. Yeah. And, you know, I think at least for a lot of us, not that this is everyone's experience, but when you first start walking with Jesus, everything is like exciting and new. And so I can like remember those days. I was at Black Hawk downtown. I even remember like seeing you on Sundays and just like everything is like new and exciting and fun. Mm-hmm. And then after time, I think a lot of us experience this point where it feels like God feels kind of distant or faith feels really stagnant. Mm-hmm. And so what would you say to someone who's kind of in that space? How do we deal with that?
First thing I would say, you're super normal. It's okay. It's a part of a healthy, normal cycle of spiritual growth. There are centuries of Christ followers who have come before you, who walked faithfully with God and have experienced the same thing. And so I think it's important to hear. We don't say it enough in our churches that it's okay if God feels distant or your faith just feels stagnant. It's normal. And so don't guilt yourself. Don't feel like you have to hide it. It's okay. I think something to remember is there's just different seasons of life and seasons of faith. I listened to you in this season. I listened to a podcaster named Annie F. Down. Some of you have like also listened to her. So she's doing this whole year. She's doing a podcast series about seasons. So she's walking through the seasons of fall and winter and spring and summer. And she's talking about what does that look like in our lives with God in those seasons. So I think the seasons have a lot to teach us about life and even our life with God. And so thinking about the winter season, right, when things kind of feel a little dormant, it doesn't mean that it, just because there's no leaves on the tree doesn't mean things are dead. They're quite alive. But there's things underground that are growing and developing and doing the work to flourish in the spring is coming. And so I think if we can look at to not freak out when that happens and to not think that God's not gone. God is very present. Even if you don't feel him, he is so present. He is close as your breath. He loves you and he cares about you. And there's things going on in your life. God is doing good work, even if we can't feel it or can't see it. And so I think it's super good to remember. And also check out that podcast series from Annie F. Downs. I think she's had some great people kind of talk through real stories of different seasons of faith.
I feel like that's a good encouragement, not just like when you are going through a season like that, but like the more time you spend in the church, like you're going to encounter friends and people that you care about, your kids maybe, or your parents, whatever the case may be, where they describe this to you. And so I feel like it's a good reminder.
Don't freak out on people.
And you just, I think it's true that we often actually can't see the deep work that God's doing in our lives or in other people.
Sometimes it's the best work. It's totally the deep, best work that God's doing.
Yeah. Totally. I think about the people that I know who have like a rich, deep faith. Like they all have gone through seasons like that. So
and it's not forever. Yeah. It's just really not forever. Yeah. You know, I think about, man, there's some Christian writers that if you're going through this season, there is some comfort in reading some other people who've gone through this. I think of St. John of the Cross. He talks about the dark night of the soul. I think about Mother Teresa. Some of her journals came out a while back after she passed. And she's describing this feeling of distance with God. And I think I remember kind of reading some of those and finding great comfort. It felt like this was going to last forever. And I can only, like, I have been out of that season, gradually came out of that season. And I would just say, like, even the season I'm in now is, like, I didn't think I could get back here when I was in that dark place. I was like, I don't think my faith is ever going to get back to, like, that fresh and alive and sweet and like where the God and you are just like totally jiving. And I'm like, oh, I'm in that season, but I know it's not going to last forever. I know I'm going to go through another season like that again. But just how do you just stay hopeful and to keep pressing and keep persevering? I think about Psalm 13. This is the one that I always go to when I'm like in kind of those seasons. It says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord, my God, right? Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I've overcome him and my foes will rejoice when I fall. And then he says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise for he has been good to me. And so it's like, just a psalm of like, man, were you going to forget me? Are you there? I can't feel you. I don't see you. But then there's really great comfort in saying like, actually, okay, I don't feel it, but I'm going to praise your name anyway. And I'm going to remember the ways that you've been good in my life, right? What are those spaces? I know you've showed up and I'm going to really just like hang my hat on those for a while. Cause right now I can't feel you. I can't see you.
Yeah. So I think that's such a beautiful psalm, and I think a good reminder too of like whatever you're going through, someone's been there before. Mm-hmm. And like the Bible is just so good. It's like
it meets you in all your places.
Yes, yeah, it speaks to like every season of life. Mm-hmm. And it's just incredible. Mm-hmm. So good.
Yeah. And I would just say I think maybe my biggest encouragement is just don't walk away. Like, yeah. It's so tempting. And I think that's one of the heartbreaking things to see, whether that be my friend, you know, different friends I've walked with, members of the church, they've hit this season and they're persevering for a while. And then it does get hard. And so they walk away, whether that be from the church or their faith, from their relation, you know. And so I just want to encourage you, like, stay connected, like, fight for it. Fight for your life with God. Stay connected with people. And I think it's really important.
Yeah. And if you're sitting on the other side of it and you're like, okay, I have a friend or a kid. I feel like I talk to sometimes parents who are like, oh, my kid's going through this and I don't know what to do. Like, my encouragement, and that would be like, just keep praying. Because I've also seen people come back who I like never expected to, who are like, I'm done with the church. I'm done with God. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm through with all of this. It's not real, or it's not working for me or whatever. And I have seen the ways that, like, consistent prayers can just, I don't know. I think God honors
God
them.
That's totally. The thing. He chases us. He is not, he's not going to let us go, right? He's not going to let us, like, or our loved ones walk away without him chasing us. And so I think just, so I agree with you.
Yeah, trust that God's still pursuing them, even if. In ways if they're not ready to to see that or to engage with God yet, like, just keep praying and be encouraged. Okay, so what about someone, maybe they're not going through the season that you just described of, like, the dark night of the soul, but they're just like, okay, I'm doing all the things. I serve on Sundays and I show up every week and I do all these things. And it just, God just feels distant. Like, what do I do now? I'm doing the things and nothing's happening.
I mean, I think this is a common question, I would say. The people kind of secretly, they want to say it quietly to me, like, oh, you might have never heard this before. And I'll just laugh. And you're like, no, oh my gosh.
You're
I
not
felt
even
it.
The first person
yeah,
today.
Totally, exactly. It's okay. I would just say don't be afraid to try some new things. Talk to a pastor, talk to some friends. Hey, what does it look like to you to follow God? What does it look like, man, when things get kind of dry, what do you do? And I think we each have different things that can, you know, kind of change it up. I think for me, you know, it's like, man, if I've been going through a season where it's like I've been studying a lot and I just got this feeling distant, I'm like, okay, I'm going to like engage with scripture in a different way. I'm going to go more devotional. I'm going to try this new app. Like right now, and I have been loving this for a long time, Lectio 365 is
so
like,
good.
It just is fantastic. And so that's like rejuvenated my soul. Maybe serving, which I know maybe if you're like, oh, I have been serving, that's the problem. But like serving in a new way, sometimes when you get outside of yourself and your own brain and just like love people in a different way and be a part of God's mission in a different way, that can be so exciting. Maybe pouring into somebody, mentoring somebody.
I was thinking that, especially serving with like, if you're like, everything feels so old, like either get with a new believer or a young person, especially whoever is younger than you. Whether that's like literally go serve and be kids and like watch the excitement on a kid's face to learn about Jesus.
Totally.
Like
that's so
it
good.
Just changes everything up, or middle school, high school, college, like whatever it is, or young parents or new couples or any like whoever it is.
Or people who've been walking with Jesus for a long time and you start to hear about their faith and you're like, okay, that's exciting me. I want that longevity. But I think about, okay, so this year, last Christmas, I think I got one of my daughters, she was asking for like a journaling Bible. And I was like, okay, sure, that's great. And every morning I would find her before I got up with her journal Bible, you know, out in the living room. She has her like colored pencils and she has some post-it notes and highlighters and she is like marking it up like crazy. And she's like, I mean, digging in. She's like, Mom, I've been spending an hour a day. This is just like so good. And I was like, okay, so my middle schooler is spending more time in the scripture than I am. It just like woke me up and I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, but that was so like engaging for me, just hearing her questions, hearing like her observations of scripture. I was like, okay, this is, like you said, it's really, really encouraging me. And it made me kind of like, okay, Lord, let's dig back in. I've been maybe slacking off a little bit.
And I've had experiences on both ends of like, okay, so I think about my little nephew and seeing him read, I mean, he's not reading it, but like, quote unquote, reading his storybook Bible. And he just flips every page and he just says, Jesus loves me. And he flips Aww. And he says it again, like over and like, that's, he knows that's what the Bible's about. And I'm like, oh, what a sweet, simple reminder that like, yeah, that actually is what is said on the words of every page. Yeah. It's like, Jesus loves me. Okay. And then on the other side, like, yeah, people who have been walking with Jesus a lot longer than me. And just to have them, honestly, sometimes, like, I tell them about what I'm struggling with and they just laugh a little bit. Just be like, yep, that's hard. Mm-hmm. And you're going to survive. Yeah. Like, when you have just a longer view of life, 100%. It's like, oh, yeah, what looks like a mountain right now is actually so small in the scheme of life. And it's actually refreshing to be reminded of that.
And that's what I love the church. Like, there is 100 reasons why, right? Church is hard. But the multi-generational, like, aspect of being around people from all different ages and stages of life and what you can really, like, how that is so encouraging and sometimes irritating, right? But, man, it's how God designed us as a family. Totally. And it has all the warts of a fam, right? All the hard parts. But he was so smart in designing us this way.
Or I also think about, too, like, I've had some experiences recently of being able to experience churches way unlike Blackhawk. Like, a couple of churches led by refugees or led by people who speak different languages than I speak. Yeah. And while that experience can be, like, it can feel uncomfortable in some ways because you're like, well, everybody knows what to do here and I have no idea what's happening. Yeah. There's something that, again, it's just so encouraging about seeing the way people different than me engage with God. Yeah. And it's just so, yeah, it's so encouraging. So I feel like whatever you're doing that's not working, just try something different and see what God might do.
Yes, I love that.
That's so good. Okay. Okay, so last question and a real practical one.
Yeah, good.
So how do we here at Blackhawk help people follow God? How, like, what are some of the things that, the ways that people can do that? And I know I'm speaking to the spiritual formation pastor.
Great. No, it's good. I know.
So I'm sure like, you've got some different answers to that. But what would you say, like, someone who's like, they're like, okay, they're asking you this question. Yeah. How do I follow God at Blackhawk?
Yeah.
What would you say?
Yeah, I would say okay, there's so many things. Okay, so I would say first, maybe the easiest kind of like first step is to get in a community group.
Yes.
Get with people who are also following Jesus, who love God, because they're going to be some of your biggest like guides and supporters and encouragement. And you're going to be able to watch their lives and you're going to be able to see what they do and hear how they pray and see how they encounter scripture and what kind of Bibles do they have, right? It's like finding some people who you can just watch for a while, I think could be a great first step. And community is just so important. Everything we do is in the context of community. Two, I would say download the Bible app, right? And I would just say start a reading plan, any of them. I don't care which one. Start a reading plan that you're going to finish and just get into scripture, even if it's confusing. Just start somewhere. There's no like best place to start. You know, some people like to start a Genesis. Some people like to grab a gospel, you know. We have different gospels that we enjoy. I like Luke. Start with Luke. Hot take. Not many people choose Luke. I love it. It's my favorite gospel. Get into scripture in some way. There's loads of tools and resources on our website even. So you could go check those out. Mm-hmm. So I'd probably say start there, but also like begin to like, and as you're in community, begin to see what people notice about you. What are you good at? Like how has God designed you to help be a part of this mission that God has you on. So whether it be serving at Blackhawk in some way, whether it's serving your neighborhood, what are the ways, how does God want to use, not use you in a bad way, but use you in a good way as a part of his kingdom mission? Because that's a huge part of what this is all about.
Yeah.
So.
And just a shout out, like if you're in person on a Sunday at Blackhawk, you can always come to the Next Steps area and there are staff and volunteers who like, we want to have conversations and help you figure out like, what's your next step? Like we so understand that it's like the journey of faith is not linear.
Yeah.
By any means, whether you're at the beginning of your faith journey or you've been in it for a long time, mm-hmm. it's not linear and everybody's next step looks different. And
yeah, it was kind of, I think some people think next steps is only for the new person, but it was cool. There is a person that came up the other day and they're like, well, I've been a Blackhawk for 20 years. I mean, of course I knew who they were. And they're like, I'm just like, okay, so I'm in it. I've been in a community group for a long time. I've been serving in this role for like 10 years. Love it. Great. But Tiffany, like is this all there is? Like I come to church. Is there like, what's my next step? I'm doing the things, like what's my next step? And so it was just a cool opportunity to be able to talk about, okay, what season of life are you in? Asking some curious questions. And it's like, hey, maybe for you, hey, why don't you read this book about spiritual practices? Like, I think maybe it's some stuff you can be doing on your own that would really like, give you a bigger picture of who God is. Right. And yeah. So it's, but every person is different. And so people at Next Steps would love to talk with you about that. Yeah. It doesn't have to be about follow, connect, learn, serve in particular signing up for something. It can also be about, hey, where are you at in your faith and how can we help you?
Yes. Yeah. We love having those conversations on Sundays. All right. Well, Tiffany, this was so sweet.
Thanks for inviting me. Thanks for listening, everybody. And, I think just the biggest encouragement that I would say walking away with is no matter where you're at, know that it's normal. Mm. Like it's probably developmentally appropriate. That's what he was saying. Like, and you're not alone and there's people who want to walk with you and encourage you. And so just don't be alone. Reach out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're not going to shock your pastor. By
zero shocking.
Yeah. Struggling with something or feeling distant or whatever, like we hope that you feel so comfortable saying that out loud at Blackhawk.
Because we've all experienced it.
100%. Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Well, thanks. This was so good. All right, everyone. We will connect with you next week for our next episode in the Can I Ask That series.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Next Steps. Don't forget to check out the show notes for a conversation guide if you'd like to keep the conversation going. If you want to learn more about how to get connected at Blackhawk or simply find resources to help you grow, check out blackhawk.church/hub. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend and subscribe so you won't miss future episodes. Until next time, let's keep following Jesus together.